Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My name is Questlove. Last week, we had this long overdue talk with our friend, our love, Jill Scott. Coming up, without further ado, part two of our exciting interview on Questlove Supreme with the one and only Miss Jill Scott. It's like our first real extended conversation has lasted more than an hour in our 20 years of knowing each other.
Yeah. Now I understand why she ended up working with Jazzy Jeff. Oh.
And even like, yeah. That was
I was just about to say,
yeah. Let's talk about trying, it. I was trying. I called James Poyser because I knew him from the jam sessions. I called every producer that I knew of, every studio that I knew of to find out if they needed a writer or a singer. And for 6 months, nobody said anything. And then one day, I saw Jazzy Jeff on the street talking to Rich Medina. And I was like, what's up? I'm just annoyed, you know, heading to the theater, go sweep floors and clean toilets. And I walked away and Jeff was like, who's that? And Rich told me, oh, that's Jill Scott. He was like, that's Jill Scott? She calls my studio every day.
Wow.
And then they called me in to see if I could write a song, but I you know, still lying. I was like, yeah, write a song. And I tried it and it worked out. It kept working out. And it just, until an album happened, kept working.
Well, what was the first song that you wrote?
The first song, At a Touch of Jazz. The first song that I ever wrote, well, the hook I ever wrote was You Got Me.
Wait a minute, dog.
That's what she said. She said she faked her way through.
I know that, but I still was hoping to get clarity that my song wasn't your first.
It was my first.
You got
it. It was my first.
Vanessa.
Yeah.
Oh, kind artist you.
That's what you get.
Are you serious?
I am.
For all listening to this episode, that's a life lesson. You stepped into some shit, into an opportunity. I would have thought that by that point, you handled it like you've been doing this shit for 7-8 years. I've never once heard you say, this is the first song I ever wrote.
And
wait, also, how does it feel to be Drake famous? Did you like your shout out?
Yeah, this is his second one.
Oh, shit, I missed the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, like we got it. two Drake icons on the line? What he say to you, Jill?
Huh?
What did he say to you? I'd have missed it. What was
he talked about his crush on Jill Scott on this new album?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll go listen to that.
Sweet.
All the kids are listening to it.
It's very sweet.
Man. I mean, you banging. I mean, what? Okay, yeah, she hot.
Thanks, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thanks, love you.
Yo, but Jill, weren't you one of the rare artists that actually got the whole touch of jazz involved in your record? Because it's not like too many artists that have everybody, right?
Yeah. What was it like at the point where they were together, like as a
magic?
Unit?
Magic. I miss that. I mean, that's the thing I miss the most. We had so much fun in every room. They were working every room, 5 rooms, 4 rooms or whatever it was at the time. You just walk out of one and go into the next, a totally different energy. And then you go in the next room and laugh hysterically. Vidal, of course, was hilarious and still is. And Dre is learning how to play the guitar at the time. And Keith is straight out of church. So all of his stuff, everything that he puts his fingers to on the keys, it just feels like old soul, because his the church that he was in, his father is a pastor, and it just felt old and rich and everything. It was, we had fun. We didn't have any money. We shared cheesesteaks. We cut out the McDonald's bags to go to Great Adventures, all rode in Dre's car. It had a hole in the floor. If you sat in the front seat and you had to not fall asleep and let your feet fall in the hole because it was a wrap city.
It's a wrap, yeah.
it's a wrap. We were broke and it was fun. And it was probably still the best time I ever had. Like recording.
So you were working on the album, or what would become the album. This was before Hidden Beach even came into the picture.
Yeah, I had been calling Jeff, and finally he'd seen me and he said, okay, you can come in. I called again and said, oh, why don't you come down? And none of the guys wanted to give me any music. So I kind of hung around. I was like, well, do you have anything that you'll, you know, that I could take? And they were like, oh, no, we're working with Will Smith. And I was like, well, this studio, I got to find a way to come back here. You know, the lobby, the wood is exposed. Can I stain in polyurethane the lobby so it'll look nice?
My girl.
Stop playing, Jill. Seriously?
He's so serious.
I'm very serious. And Jeff was like, oh, that would look nice. And I said, well, can I do it? And he was like, all right, I'll give you the money for the supplies. And I stained in polyurethane the lobby. And so that I could hear what was going on in the other rooms. And, you know, they would come out and leave the door open and let me hear sometimes. Or I would, you know, go in for a minute and to say, oh, I like that. And then eventually they gave me a tape and it had 7 songs on them. And those 7 songs ended up being on Who Is Jill Scott.
And The Rain was after that, right? I'm sorry. You said Will Smith. So I just automatically went to The Rain.
It happened later.
Okay.
After they started letting me write and then sing, because I had to let them know. I wasn't planning on singing, but I had to let them know how it went. And they were like, oh, that was good. Wait a minute, you sang? I was like, yeah.
Yo, can I just ask Jill, was Be Ready in one of them 7 songs?
Be Ready came later.
Damn, okay.
All right. Be Ready came later. I love that song.
Oh my God.
But
please use that for the battle.
Then Jill, I auditioned for Rent.
That's the most amazing story I've ever heard in my life.
One thing we never talked about, like your voice. How did you develop your voice? You said you didn't like really sing in choirs or church or whatever. How did you develop your style?
I did sing at Girls High, but we sang classical music primarily. And it just felt nice to me. And then they sent me on some school trip and I saw Kathleen Battle sing and was like, oh my God, I didn't even know there was a such thing as a Black opera singer. Like, this is dope. And then I just started being a mimic. I mimicked Anita Baker. I mimicked Phyllis Hyman, Kathleen Battle, mimicked her. I think this is where it started. You know, I didn't have any plans to sing at all. I'm still amazed. I'm still like, what? You want me to what? Word? Nah. All right. Okay.
So, yeah, Jeff, he said the same thing about, he said like when y'all first started working that, and you can, you know, tell me if it's true. He was saying that they kind of had to convince you, I guess, to sing. Like, you know, you were more so interested in doing the poetry, but he was like, yo, what the hell? Like, nah, you need to do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was kind of pushing you to do it.
Yeah. He was definitely a motivating force. And then I think when I started singing in front of people, this was before that. I mean, yeah, this was before A Touch of Jazz or Hidden Beach or any of that. Rich Medina and I, we were sitting outside my house in North Philly and things had gone real bad. I knew all the drug dealers. I knew all the crackheads. Nobody ever bothered me. You know, somebody would like try to run up on me or whatever. And then they see me be like, oh, hey, Jill. And if they were real hot, they'd be like, Jill, you know. right. Jill, you know Jill. They got to give you a double name.
A double name, you know. Jill.
That's
Jill.
Right. Right. What's up, Mir? Then some guy pulled up on us and tried to rob us sitting in front of my house. And shot at us, actually. Richard pulled off and the guy shot at us. And everything, I think, was different. We had a poetry reading the next day. And I went to it in my pajamas because I couldn't figure out how to put clothes on. Like, my safety was gone. Everything I knew that was my own. This is my hood. These are my crackheads. This is my drug dealers. This is my block. You know, I'm safe. Was gone. And I, instead of writing or reciting the poem I had written, I just started singing. And that was a beginning.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Must have been two, No, couldn't have been 2000, probably 98, 90, yeah, probably like 98.
Gotcha.
And that's when I was like, I think I could do this. You know, I probably could do this. I'll just try to be a writer because Lord knows I don't want to be famous.
Wow.
And
so what was that like? Well, first of all, wait, there's a question I had about your block. The house that the video to Long Walk is connected to, is that your childhood home?
Yes.
And the same house is getting in the way?
You're just sitting in front?
The one that I came out of for getting in the way is across the street from my house. I passed my house. Right. And the one that I was sitting on the steps for a long walk, that's a neighbor's.
I got to say, the intro to Long Walk.
North Philly Strong.
The intro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no. I don't even mean the video. Of course, the video, too, because you're smiling and all that stuff. But the 10-second, the first 15 seconds of Long Walk, the song, is probably like, I have like my top five happy adrenaline moments, like things I have to hear if I need to like get in a mood of happiness or whatever. Long Walk and Herb Alpert's Route 101 are those two songs. Which is weird to
come down.
Don't look up Herb Alpert's Route 101. People associate that with the dentist office happy song. But yeah, man, it's something that, like, do you ever get tired of people's fandom of, because I feel as though they don't give your entire catalog a fair shot, only because I think that, sort of like your association with the Wiz, I think the sentimental attachment to discovering you as an artist, as a fan, discovering you as an artist, and what the soundtrack of that album for everyone in 2000, like, it was perfect because no one saw it coming. And
me either.
Nobody saw it coming. Like, literally on, I'll say the soundtrack to the Voodoo tour was like just playing it every 24/7. If I'm not playing it, Anthony Hamilton's playing in the back. Even D'Angelo is so retro, like he wouldn't dare listen to anything older than like 30 years. Like, even he's rocking that shit because no one is expecting it. Like, how was it the first go round in your taste of celebrity and your relationship with your family, your relationship with your friends, and I might have to move out of this neighborhood, like separation. Can you come back? Is what's Thanksgiving like in Thanksgiving 2001? Like, what was it like the first year and a half that after that album came out?
Well, I could say there were a lot more people at the family reunion than ever showed up, for sure.
Like, we all have the story.
Who? Yeah, man.
Oh,
I didn't expect anything, so I got way more than I expected because I wasn't expecting anything. But Lizelle and I were living together in our little second floor walk up, and people were riding by playing the music at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You know, just highest capacity, just so loud. And I at first, honestly, I was blown away. I didn't expect anything. So I was really, didn't know how to take it. Didn't know what to feel about it either. Oh, it just started to hurt.
In what way?
Because people, there were the presumption that they knew everything about me or who I was instead of just meeting me. And that hurt. It hurt me. Like, I've gotten over it since.
Right.
Hmm?
I
know her from this to that. She's like this or she's like that. And I'm like, I'm still growing. I'm still figuring shit out. I don't know. I'm out here trying to live.
And you still and they gave you the Earthy label too, which for us at Black Radio, trying to play your radio, play your song, we've been trying to make people understand the difference in earthy and neo soul people and regular old folks, and the fact that they were regular old folks. She wrote a song about beating a bitch's ass. Like, why can't she just be?
Yeah, there's nothing conscious about this.
Yeah, no, right.
But they put you in that bubble.
They put you in a box.
bubbles happen. You know, I didn't like that either. I just didn't like the world thinking that they knew who or what or why I was even here before I did. You know, I'm still figuring it out. 20 years later, you know, who is Jill Scott? So much has changed. You know, it's way different than it was last year. You know, I'm a mother of an 11-year-old now. That's way different from 10. I don't care who you talk to.
Hey, you glad know, you taught now, aren't you? Them teachers are coming into handy.
They have to. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. What does that mean? Who do I become in the middle of a pandemic? Or who does anybody become? You know, I still like simple things. No matter how fancy my life may appear, I still hug trees. I think they're the bomb. I do.
You just erased my whole argument about you being earthy, but that's fine.
I flirt with them. You know, I'm still very, very simple in these ways. And I treasure that about myself. And I just take it all with a grain of salt all the time. I don't need the accolade so much. What I need is to be able to pay all my bills. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to go on vacations and enjoy them. I need to be able to help my people where I can. I need to be able to not worry that I'm headed back where I came from, because I don't want to go. I don't want to be shot at. I don't want to have to fend off, you know, crackheads trying to shoot at me. I don't want that life.
So you have nightmares of one day this could be over and I'll be back at 23rd and blah, blah, blah.
I have nightmares of not having food in the pantry. That's a big one. I remember.
Wait a minute, that comes from?
It comes from
quite some time where neighbors, Jehovah's Witnesses particularly, were coming by dropping off baskets of food because we didn't have any. And I'm, you know, it's not like I'm really pulling out a violin for sad songs. This is my existence. This is my life. And these are the things that keep me grounded. I know that it only takes one wrong phrase or one wrong song or one wrong role or, you know, to have a society cancel you or shoo you away and not value, you know, what you bring to the table. I don't think that I'm the greatest singer. I think that I offer a lot of spirit. I think that whatever, if it's passion or lust, if it's fear or pain or happiness, simple joys, whatever they may be, thought process, when I sing, you can hear that. And that's my gift. I'm able to convey emotions well. And I'm aware.
Nah, you do that well. And you, I always wanted to tell you this, like you really played a big role, probably unknowingly, for me. I was doing a session with Jeff like some years ago, and it was a Little Brother song, and me and Pooh, we were driving up to Delaware, and we had in our mind, okay, it's rapity rap rap time. We about to damn rap this nigga under the table, you know what I'm saying? And so we just like, all right, it's rapity rap rap. And so we get to the spot, and Jeff is just playing like all these kind of R&B records, you know what I'm saying? And they were dope. I mean, the shit was mm-hmm. dope, but it was not what we expected, you know what I mean? And so we ended up doing a song where Pooh rhymed, and I mean, I ended up singing on it. And so I was just singing because Jeff had to catch a flight and stuff. And so I'm just kind of cutting vocals, not really thinking about it. And so I came out the booth, and I was like, Jeff had this look on his face. I thought I had fucked up. I said, man, what's wrong? He was like, man, you need to be singing all the time. You need to be singing. I was like, Jeff, dude, I just kind of did it because that's what we had. I don't really want to do it. He was like, man, you know who the same, you know who else said that? You know who else said that same shit? I was like, who? He said, Jill. And I was like, damn, like word. And he said that time that he told me, he said, man, sometimes people can see things in you that you don't see in yourself. He was like, bro, you got something. Keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I always just wanted to share that with you. You know, you really, when I heard him say that Jill Scott didn't think she was a good singer, I said, well, nigga, goddamn.
Turn on the mic, nigga. You know, let's go.
Everybody must hate their voice then, because I love your voice. You know what I mean? But
That was really
inspiring to me.
So, and, Jill, what is your preparation for acting, and how does it differ to your preparation for singing and songwriting? Like, what's your creative process? Are you meditation? Is it like, what's your creative approach to it?
Probably terror is the first step for me. Like, I just don't want to fuck up so bad. I don't want to be the weak link in the room. I just don't want that. So,
what was the first one, Jill? Was it Why Did I Get Married?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember. And the first TV show was Girlfriends. Mm. And Mar Brock I Kill gave me an arc. She had never even seen me act before and gave me an arc. And I was like, come on, God. Like, I'm just like out here blessed like crazy. And it was like ridiculous. Goodness gracious. Anyway, how do I prepare? Like, first is terror. And then there's homework. So I could be prepared. And I study a lot. I try to take walks where I can and be still where I can. And then I need to move my body, you know, so that I could feel that person, you know, in me, around me. And then the famous line is to be that guy. That's it. Be that guy at all costs, whatever that means.
Who's okay. challenged you the most in this acting journey, like as far as like direction?
Anthony Minghella. He directed The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in The Piano Lesson. I don't know that one. Okay. Cold Mountain.
Mm-hmm. And he developed your HBO series, correct?
Yes. He auditioned me 6 times.
For Ladies Detective Agency?
Yes.
Shit.
For hours, it was the most gruesome experience. At some point, I was like, fuck you. Either you want me or you don't. Like, I can't keep coming here. Oh, I need you to come tomorrow. Come to New York tomorrow. Dude, like, I have other things that I have to do. Seriously, you got to know by now if you want me or not. And his auditions were brutal. Okay, say the lines, and now your left rib is cracked. Go. Okay, say the lines, and now you have something stuck in your right eyelash. Go. Now say the lines, and you're you can't stop drooling. Go.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
He had you
obstacle after obstacle after challenge after. Was he doing
anything? See
how well
Jill?
You take instruction, or?
I don't know what he was doing, but being Anthony Minghella, the man won like 8 Oscars.
Exactly, and you were the first Black woman to helm to. Lead a HBO series, so shit, yeah, it wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah,
you're welcome, Issa.
I was really hurt when I didn't win an NAACP Image Award for that role. I was really hurt because I shot that shit. I was I left there 7 months pregnant. We worked in 117 degrees casually, shit. And
on location, right?
On location in Botswana for 7 months.
God
and
damn.
Yeah, 3 months the first time, 4 months the next time. And I was just like, I shot a show about Africa, you know, even though it's fictional.
What's more
Africa,
colored people than that?
In Africa.
And you right. flipped it and reversed it. And now you're playing them where they usually play us.
Exactly. Well, if they get the opportunity, which is a real trip.
That's true. I'm thinking of Black Brits.
How long did it take you to have that accent comfortably?
I was studying 1 hour a day every day for 2 months. And then when I got there, it was all wrong. They gave me a Zim accent and not a Botswana accent.
Whoa.
So I had to
unlearn everything?
Unlearn everything and relearn it real fast. And the Botswana women, the elder women, would sit around and if I got something wrong, they go...
Yeah.
Ah.
And I was like, that's not the sound that I wanted to hear. I did not want to let them down in any way. And then when I got stuff right, you hear them go, "My girl." Yes.
What an amazing experience, Jill.
You'll live for my girl. That was incredible.
What happened with the show? Why did they only do one season?
He passed away, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was so brilliant. And I thought that he was a flirt. I didn't know what was going on. He was so touchy. Like, stop touching me all the time. I don't like it. And I smacked him. Because I was like, it's too much.
HR.
I don't know what you're doing. And then his wife came and I had an opportunity to see them together. And I realized, oh my God, he's not flirting. He's Italian. He's just loving in Italian. And then after that, our relationship just, you know, flew, you know, he was brilliant. And it was Sidney Pollack, who was the executive producer, and Harvey Weinstein was, ta-da. Yeah. So, Sidney passed away first and then Anthony passed soon after. You know, I tried to get the show to continue, but nobody was really interested. I don't know. I thought it was because the show was too positive. You know, there wasn't a bunch of disease and murder and, you know, war and AIDS. You know, it's just people being people in Hotel Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't right. enough it wasn't death Hotel and destruction. It wasn't enough death and destruction. So, you know, this sweethearted show couldn't continue.
Are there any ideas that you would like to develop for future projects?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's one, Lionel's. But I've had my finger on one for quite some time. After a few times trying to get somebody to pick it up. But it looks like I'm going to have to make a phone call to your ass. And I'm working on it now. And it's the right thing to do with all my heart. It's the right thing to do. Wonderful story.
Wonderful. And how is this involved like you?
How is it what?
It doesn't involve me. She just told me.
It's involving you because I'm going to call you and ask you for some money.
Oh, yeah, that's what she's talking to you.
I'm also going to call you and ask you for some insight.
Laia.
No, Amir. No. You know she ain't calling me about no money.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you had some trust fund money or something. Laia. Yeah,
I'm sitting here with you right now. I don't think so.
Yeah, trust fund money. She wouldn't be on Questlove Supreme.
You know, at least not as often.
It'd be a special guest episode featuring Laia.
Laia with the cigarette. I don't know.
It's a very special project, and I know that I'm going to have to put in a lot of guts. A lot of guts.
Amir's ready. In order to do
this. Is it TV? Ready. Is it movie? Like what kind of project?
It's a film.
It's film.
It's a film. Yeah.
Amir's ready. He's receiving well these days. Look at him.
He owes you for keeping you in Paris in a fucking hotel, leaving you.
He left Detroit. You in Paris. That nigga had you staying in a halfway house.
I didn't know.
They was at the Ritz Carlton. They had you in a La Quinta and shit.
And
man.
You know he ain't called you for a year after that. He was like, "Oh, what happened? I ain't even." What?
I'm trying to tell you. In okay, that Detroit guys. Hotel, I was so scared. I was so scared. I was like, oh, they fighting out there. They won't kill me.
Overcharge that nigga for what he did to the cold crush, yeah.
Nigga, here y'all go.
It all works out. It really does.
That's going to work out.
It all works one thing. Out.
One thing I always wanted to ask you, some of my favorite songs of yours are always just your short kind of interlude songs like Crown Royal.
Yes.
And Hear My Call. I think that's the right. I just those are just gorgeous fucking songs. Like what's Thank your you. Thought process in just making them short versus like full, you know, I guess verse, chorus, bridge, whatever kind of songs?
I think when it's done, it's done. I just feel that way. Like when it's done, it's done. I could keep forcing the issue, but you know, when you bust a nut, it's you did it already.
That's
you know,
what it is.
You don't necessarily have to go back for more. It could be like
that's what it was. No, I get you.
Yeah.
Is it all right? Can I ask for Hear My Call specifically?
Uh-huh.
Is
yeah, that was you. That was your idea.
Oh, he was searching for credit. Go ahead and get it.
Yeah, not even. That was totally
right. No, not even. Is it still draining and emotional for you to sing it?
Yes.
Or do you have a She's Out of My Life relationship with it now where it's like you can phone it in if you want to? Like, what if there's a night where you're just not in the mood to rock that song, but you know that there's expectations to? Or I've just never seen a song in which people are boohoo crying anytime. And I've seen you probably like 7 times.
Yeah.
In concert.
Yeah.
And mostly in the back row now, because I'm sorry about that. somehow they placed me like dead row, front row, center, at like Jill's first Philly show.
That's horrible. I'm sorry.
It is.
I didn't choose the seat.
No, I'm just saying I won't do that to you. I'll try to make sure that they don't do that to my friend.
No, no. Back I went to the back row because it was like...
You don't want to be in the front row. You
I was in the front
show.
Row, dead center in front of you. And I was like, oh, no, God, sir. Why am I no. right? My point is, the reason why you're such an amazing performer is because it's heartfelt and it's believable and it's authentic. That song in particular breaks people's hearts so much every time they hear it. Are there times where you're just like, nope, no more. I'm not doing this anymore. Like, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
The audiences in Europe, they typically won't leave until I sing it. They will not leave. No matter what I say, no matter how many lights come on, they will not leave. They're waiting for it. And I sob ridiculously. I could barely finish the damn thing. You know, I those are the times like, why did you write that? Why did you say that? Why? Damn it. And then record it and have the audacity to put it on a project so other people can hear it. But I feel like that's the work. You know, you want people to smile randomly or, you know, flirt or be or feel in love. Feel it, you know. And if you need to mourn something, there should be music for that too. There's music for cooking, there's music for cleaning. You know, there's all this good music, luckily for us, you know, humanity and music, we're so connected. And I struggle with that. You know, I typically sob myself and then, you know, it's a whole audience full of tears and it just is what it is. And, you know, that means there's hugs to be given because I need to feel better and so do you. So, you know, I typically come out and then, you know, before COVID, you know, we hug mm-hmm. each other. It just, you know, it's not my favorite to do the sad songs, but I'm here for it. And apparently the audience came for it too.
Man,
I think it's well written. I have to give myself some credit on that. I think that my pen definitely poured out my heart at that time.
Can you only sing your songs, Jill, you think?
I can't sing everybody's songs, no.
I mean, a song written by someone else.
Yeah, I can sing a song written by somebody else. For me, if it's for
you,
me, yeah.
Right, if it's someone, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Okay, first, let me give you a flowers for Rolling Hills. I love that song.
Me too!
I hope that's one, maybe it'll be one of the ones for Versus. You know, we'll see. But
we need to talk about
it. I love that fucking song. I love that.
It's
a great
so song. Hard to choose because they're, you know, they're asking me for 20 of my favorite songs. And I'm like, my favorites are kind of obscure. Like, I don't right. know. If,
don't go in the artist's danger zone. The danger zone.
What's the danger zone?
When an artist picks out all their songs and don't realize that these have nothing to do with what people love.
But the people want.
Oh. And then you realize okay. there's a reason for the record label. You go, oh, yeah.
I don't have one of those.
I'm just saying. What you thinking, Jim?
And I own my masters.
Yes. And she owns her masters.
Yes.
Amir you stole own your his. Masters. That's dope.
Wow. Dope.
Yeah. You sold yours?
Okay. Amazing. Other question I had. So, Hate on Me. Amazing.
Yeah.
Was that song God. About OK Players?
Yes. Oh,
I forgot.
It was. Okay.
Yes.
Shut up.
I'm about to say, we have
no,
confirmation.
No.
Damn, Jill Scott.
Not at all.
The turmoil and danger I've brought to your life, man.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, it's not true. It's not true at all. That was
surviving
about
Amir Thompson.
You know what I'm saying? That would be hilarious.
It would. It'd be such a mild, like, no season version.
That would be hilarious. Surviving Amir Thompson.
Sorry.
Jaguar, right. Chills.
Not here.
New rhyme.
I'm just joking.
God.
I'm just kidding. Just okay. joking.
Did you say Nura?
I just
deep cuts.
I fucking
yes,
I just
boy,
called
deep
names.
Cuts.
I just
deep what
was,
cuts.
What was her guitar player's name? Where the hell
her
is
husband,
he?
Right?
Dan.
No, that was Don. Oh.
Dan was the guitar player.
Wait a minute. You telling me she married Dan?
No, she did not marry Dan.
Somebody else.
Oh,
was married
I was
Dan.
Like, Laia.
I believe new right now is in Brighton, England. Last time I spoke to her, she was dating all right, who sang that duet with Nena Cherry, 7 Seconds? The African singer.
Yusuf Endur.
Yusuf Endur.
Like Nena Cherry's last big hit in like 1998. Yusuf Endur.
Yusuf Endur. Yusuf Endur.
Oh, that's what you were saying?
Yeah, yes. I said Yusuf Endur. That was your caricature moment.
Really, I didn't know.
You're speaking of tugs. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was Yusuf Endur.
Correct. Yeah, she was dating him. I don't know. Like the last I heard, she was doing something with Spike. Maybe a commercial with Spike. But
I don't care who she's dating. Yeah.
No, I haven't heard from New probably since Rich died.
New.
I think that's the last time I talked to her.
Come on, man. Where's the Black Lily World? Are they now?
Loved her.
You know we need one.
That was a great experience. Black Lily was awesome.
Well,
why I you say so no? We don't. We could use a Black Lily.
What's my
girl? You just need a sign that says "All egos at the door." All egos at the door. Same rig.
If Jill
same
can say it out loud,
everything and all egos at the door.
No. If Jill can check hers,
it'd be great,
dude. I mean,
if Jill can check hers,
I know. I fucking Tracy and New. I mean, Tracy and Mercedes. Like, I see them all the time.
Yeah,
like,
we do.
I do.
It can happen. But it can be so great.
There's some Lilyites that.
Oh, you know, they might rap not saying. Okay, all right. I don't know. I'd just be throwing names out there. I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Jasmine down, no. I don't know. Asia Bettine, they down. So,
We good.
But we talking about Black Lily.
That's what I'm saying. Jasmine is Black Lily. Asian Fatine, that's Black Lily.
Yeah.
Asian Fatine performed at Black Lily.
Girl, yeah. Well, you know what? Dude, they already hit by Lily. Then. They were the ones. They really
like Asian Fatine. Asian Fatine. Like by the time the first draft of Black Lily went on to like get record deals and stuff, they were like it was like Toy Story. They were the broken toys left behind, and they all grouped up, and superpowered it, and then became.
Oh, what a way to put it.
A monster. And I was like, yo, what the fuck happened? Yeah. Like, they started kicking our ass.
They were who you look forward to seeing every week. And next thing you know, you're like, amazing. Rhythm of love, rhythm of life.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they just, big ups to Kindred, the family soul.
They're amazing.
So we want to
do their episode too.
And they went to Hidden Beach.
They did go to Hidden Beach, man. They did.
I was about to say, right. Jill.
I forgot. Yeah. So what happened with Hidden Beach from your perspective? Because just from a consumer side, they had you, and like we were like, yes, Jill. Like that was, it was all Jill. Then they did it was Brenda Russell. They did that Brenda Russell album.
They did the Rain thing. So.
Yeah, it was Paris Rain. That was it. And then
Unwrapped Volume 19.
Unwrapped Volume, 1 through 8. Yeah, so like, what was your experience with them? How that relationship, I guess, kind of deteriorated on your side?
To be perfectly frank, or did it deteriorate? It did. I thought that they had some really good artists on there. Kindred being one of them. That's Kindred, and they're so talented, and the songwriting is so good, and their stage performance is so amazing. You need to put more money into Kindred, but I didn't have a say in what Hidden Beach did because they're the label. I'm not the label. And I didn't like that. That didn't feel good to me that I couldn't be of service in that way. You know, I watched them sign a lot of artists and I was like, what are you doing? And I thought that we had a friendship. I thought that we had this family thing that was happening. So when I realized it was just business, I was really disappointed. And then President Obama was working on being in office and everything was about the election and they weren't being supportive. And I didn't feel like they were helping me at all with radio. I didn't realize until later on how much everything that occurred had to do with my effort. So, I'm coming up with the album. I'm working out the images. I'm, handing out flyers. I'm, I did a lot coming up with every idea. I designed the videos, the first, three videos. I was like, this ain't what I do. I'm tired. Can somebody help me?
Right.
I can't do it all. And then
you know, go to these. I had pneumonia, I think, like three times in 2 years because I toured that first 2 years without balance. That's one of the things, like with young artists, I'm like, yes, absolutely go out there and do the hustle. But you have to have a balance or you yeah. will lose your mind and you will lose your health. And the goal is longevity. It's Frankie Beverly, Bette Midler, longevity right. out here. And that's what now I'm Richie. You know, yeah. that's what I'm saying. That's who yeah. I want. That's what I want. And I thought I was killing myself trying to, you know, make it work for the label. And I was like, ah. So I left and, you know, I think the last number was like, they tried to sue me for like $19 million.
What? On what grounds?
That I left, that I was leaving and I had a couple of records to.
Left on the contract.
Left on that. Yeah. And damn, yeah, I was like, family, huh?
Okay. Yeah, because I saw. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, nigga, let's talk about it. Okay, so that shit they put out, the the Jill Scott.
Oh, when they start duet, putting out the duets and shit. Yeah,
Like what was? I mean, that felt kind of, just as a fan, I'm like, yo, this feels a little shady. But what was the story behind it? The albums that they put out, the Hidden Beach records that they put out.
It certainly didn't feel good to me. It wasn't like I had any thing to say, you know, I had no say so in them, you know, so, you know, moving on.
So technically, if we're a real, I'm just saying, I just want to know I'm doing this right. So technically, if I'm a real Jill Scott fan, I buy up into the live album and then the rest of
the song.
Okay,
all right.
Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
All right.
Wait,
I like Light of the Sun. Anyone,
I like, yeah, J.R. Hudson, that's my nigga. Like, he's fucking dope. I love that record. Yeah.
Yes. You're talking about Crown Royal?
Crown Royal.
Imagination. I love that song. And the song I did with George Benson, Whenever You're Around, I love that song. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to need somebody to call me because I just love what I love.
Ooh, can this is good for verses, Fonte.
I can help you now. I do. This is what I do. I mean, it's just battle rap. You know what I mean? So
can you do? What about the Four Hero song? Y'all think she should include that in there? Because I do.
I love that song. I was about to ask you about that because Mark Mack, that's my nigga. But I love that song. I love that song.
I go to work today. I'd rather stay home.
Man, I think the way you plan your verses is, first off, you got to think of what the other artist's biggest songs are and think about how you're
going to counter that with.
What you're going to counter it with. Yeah, that's how you start.
Okay, so y'all.
So if you already know her haymakers, if you already know her haymakers, then you know then this is what I can do. And you got to think of your songs that you can use to
Tyrone Haymaker
to get her to drop some bullshit. You know what I mean?
But you got to understand that I'm thinking about my audience, like my the people that come to my shows. Like they know shit. They know shit and can't wait for that moment.
But this though, I would say you can't think about your audience. You kind of got to almost think of the demographic that's going to be on IG Live. And that may or may not be the same people. So it's like, you got to think about it from the standpoint of like, all right, because I was talking about this on Twitter the other day. It's like, who picking a winner? And I put that in very loose quotation marks because, I mean, we love both of y'all. And so there's no.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? No one loses. I mean, this is a celebration. You know what I'm saying?
The culture wins.
Yo, it's for the culture. It was
Swiss word. Beat. Yeah, so, but I love the way the RZA and DJ Premier did theirs. I think that was
my favorite one.
It's all about not being Teddy Riley, Jill. Right now, it's all about not being Teddy Riley. Don't okay? be Teddy. And so, what I want to say to Jill, because I don't know if she's aware, but you do know that Erica is up on her tech shit right now, right? Like, she's got her own streaming service. She's performing in bubbles and shit like that. And
wait. Like, the energy you bring right now is like instigating.
No. This is. Fuck, I love both of them. I love both of them. I mean, Jill's my sister, but I love both of the music, whatever. What I'm saying is that I just want her to understand who she's playing against because I don't know if she's been, you know, paying attention. She's been in her COVID world. So I'm just saying that Erica's going to come with technology. And do you think Amir, Fonte, Bill, Steve, that Jill should fight back with the simplicity?
No.
What should she do?
Oh, yeah. Listen, all you have to do, Jill, listen, here's the thing about Versus, all right? Here's the mentality of Versus. And this is where Teddy fucked up. Right. Like, yeah. here's our unsolicited corner. We your corner people. Yeah. We in your corner.
You need everybody. Yeah. You need a cut, man. Boom.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not Freddie Pacheco out this bitch, nigga. Shit.
So listen, here's the thing. The thing that makes Versus work, Versus is all about, yo, these rich niggas are stuck in their crib looking at their phone just like us. That's what makes it work. Like, that's the draw. The draw is we're looking at celebrities and people who have done all these great things. They're stuck inside their homes, and this is entertainment for us just as it is for them.
I love how Ponte think he's not famous. It's so cute.
I'm not fucking famous, dude. Okay, fine. I'm regular. But anyway. So that's the thing. So
hold on to that, bruh. Hold on.
Well, I certainly will. So the thing is, you can take it to your car. Like, you can play records in your car if you want to. Anything that makes it look more intimate and makes it feel more like the audience is.
You're
getting,
like us. I do, yeah, it in your like kitchen. Us.
Yeah, do it in your kitchen.
Gonna be in a bubble on a mountaintop. So
do it in your kitchen.
And that shit is going to be like, nigga, why are you in the bubble on the mountaintop? You know what I mean?
I have another thing to add to it. Sensing you might need a quasi haymaker that isn't below the belt, I would actually have, this is bad.
Oh, with the anticipation. Go ahead, nigga, say it. How do you do that?
I say so much that up. When she hits you, I think when she hits you, she has three haymakers. Tyrone's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I feel like Orn and Orn's one of them. Yeah. And other side of the game. Now,
mm-hmm. I would say, I don't think other side. I think other side is one. I would say more so Next Lifetime. Like, that's okay. Probably the closest thing right. She got mm-hmm. to, yeah.
So my thing is, when she hits with Tyrone, whatever you play next, I wish you had a TV track version of it. And you sang it live.
Here you go. It's too much. See, too much. You're adding elements. You're adding technical elements.
She can sing. She can.
She writes on paper.
You're doing too much, bro.
She like, writes on paper. Bill said it. She
paper.
Yeah, that's doing you doing too much. People just want to see you drop the jams. They want to see you drop the jams.
But I will say, if you pick up your alleged Teddy Roddy guitar
that's
and just
what I'm
start
saying.
Saying doing things with your voice outside of adding technical things, because yeah, but you will, Jill, that's a fucking haymaker. Your voice is the
I'm saying, but that's the thing.
Live,
if she just whatever device, if there's Fender Road, if there's a Fender all Fender Rhodes version of He Loves Me and she does that shit live,
oh okay, you saying
nigga,
okay.
I will throw my phone right in the
No, because that's the thing. Like, because when I was doing, I kind of been doing like cards for all these battles. The thing with Erica,
damn.
Okay, Erica has to survive Jill's first. If she can survive Jill's first album and Golden, she might have a chance. The only problem is that Jill, your first album, and I said this on Twitter, your first album is a fucking minefield. Anything you can drop something off that shit.
She can
blind.
Drop the entire album,
nigga, and, like yeah, for real, like
but strategically.
You yeah. can drop Honey Molasses and just be like, you know what I mean? Like for real, you know what I mean? So the thing is, like the big ones you have to worry about, Erica. Yeah, Amir's right. Tyrone is her haymaker. I think Tyrone will be that on and on Next Lifetime. And Baduism, as much as Baduism is a classic and I love it, and I still, you know. Baduism is very top heavy. All the smoke is on side A. Like yeah. Side B is, I mean, it's there's nothing bad on it and it's
and remember
good,
now you
but,
got me remember. Oh, mm-hmm.
Nah, nigga, side A is where all, that's where all the smoke is. That's where all the yeah. smoke at. But who is Jill Scott? Like, nigga, that run
the entire from, album.
Nigga, from one to goddamn slowly surely, it ain't not one miss on that hoe. So she better goddamn
So Fonte, let me ask, and Amir, let me ask you this. What are the outside of album cuts that Jill should be including in the verses?
Okay,
like the
okay,
appearances
this she,
and
okay.
All right, does Drake date does Daydream
like
make it?
Asked.
Nah, fuck no. Don't play Daydream. Don't
you
play that
you
shit.
Too, Bill, if you in it.
Don't play Daydream. Nah, don't Why? Do Daydream.
Daydream.
Because to the audience, one, that wasn't like a, I mean, it wasn't a big record. Like, so it's like this.
You okay
you
with this shit?
And then you got jams.
I'm yeah, listening.
But nigga,
I,
the best
I,
in the world.
I have tried my best to stay out of all of this, and
yeah,
so
but you in it now, so this
but
is the best place
yeah.
now. Yeah, you in it.
We're in the thick of it.
Oh, we're
better get a grip and get it on.
Get it on. That's my
listen to your corner, Jill.
I love you.
Okay, here's your nine album jam. All right, listen. Yes. You better hit them niggas that got them Crown Royal. Uh-huh. We need that because thing is, hear my call. That could be a haymaker for you. Like, I think if we're talking haymakers, like Golden, I think it's probably like the haymaker. Like, you ain't getting up from that whenever you drop that, because that was a monster record.
But don't waste Golden.
Don't waste it. Nah. So you got to go Hear My Call. You got Crown Royal. You got Rolling Hills. You got damn. What's on the second album?
Golden.
I like no, but it's another. What's the one? I like Spring Summer Feeling. I don't know if I would use whenever. It, but I like that one. My love is sweeter, tighter. Like, yeah, nigga, yeah, you got that.
And Better at Home, Fonte. Don't sleep on Better at Home.
I did like Better at Home.
I love Better at Home.
That's terrible.
So Sweet Summer Feeling.
I'm sorry, we being real honest about album? Your music right now, Jill. You okay? You comfortable?
Never wrote that. Oh God,
really?
Here's the breakdown, and you can just use this information however you want. This is the thing with Erica and Jill battle. So like, Erica is more so like your career, Jill, you've kind of leaned more into like the adult, like contemporary, what would be like urban AC kind of lane. Erica's records over the last couple years, her last few records, she's kind of gone deeper, more just into hip hop and kind of being, I think, a little more experimental. But the thing with that is it just kind of depends on demographics. So to the contingent of people that I refer to as the Ascot Battalion, Erica's last two albums. Yeah, the Roland Martins and like them, the Boulay niggas.
Yeah.
Erica's last two records didn't really connect with them. Like,
they don't know them. They don't know they exist.
They don't know. Like, New America.
The phone call, John.
Them niggas lost.
They know
on that
window
shit.
Seat from the video.
They know just there's, window seat, but that's it. But
there's a lot of people in the world. There's a lot of people listening, period. You don't know who's what.
It don't matter.
But for verses, that's the thing, right? It's one thing if we fighting, it's niggas.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jill. It's nigga. I'm sorry, and Bill.
It's nigga.
Because even Steve doesn't make an attempt. So,
anyway, that's our unsolicited advice.
Yeah,
we will give Erica the same advice too.
No,
just to be equal.
Jill, like your catalog, you got. I think you have more in the tank than she is, and if you can get her to play her big cards early, I think you're just gonna win just off being able to go the distance alone.
I think Erica will actually try to play her eccentric cards. I don't think she'll play the obvious cards. I bet you On and On won't even come until
like late in the
joint. Mm-hmm.
That would be smart. I mean, but what's she gonna play before that? I mean, like she gonna play Gone Baby Don't Be Long, which I love that song, but I mean.
You're talking about one of my favorite artists.
Okay, but y'all battling.
It appears to be the case.
Where's the North Philly? Can I talk to North Philly Jill? Where's she at? Hello.
All right, listen. This is the right attitude. We don't even want to imply that we're leaning one way or the other.
No, it's not a cat fight. I don't want to turn it.
I just wanted to be an equal playing field. Is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm.
It's gonna be a great. We're here to celebrate both of y'all.
If you start to sing live and shit, it's a win. I'm just gonna tell you.
But the thing is, you know me. I'm really organic about all the stuff that I do. You know what I mean? Like I want to be honest. And if it comes to that, and I feel like singing, then that's what's gonna happen.
Okay, I didn't want you to say no.
Feels like singing. Yes,
that's right. Oh, I feels
however.
Like singing.
You know, really be dirty. You know, really be dirty. You know, really be dirty.
God. What?
If you sing an Erica song.
Oh,
nah.
Why you got to do? Ooh, damn,
one?
Amir.
Sing an Erica song, which one? Which one? I mean, I'm trying to think. What?
You think Erica would ever play Next Lifetime?
She wouldn't.
If she's smart, she will. She better play that shit.
But certainly.
You think Jill singing certainly?
Cause that ain't her song technically, so you could. I mean,
certainly, it's not her song.
No, I just meant certainly is a.
Sample. Nah, I don't know. You can't. I don't think
I'm just daydreaming. I'm bored. Yeah, I'm in a house with beams and an occult.
So many beams.
I'm like, what Grace say when you said you made that suggestion? Did she look at you crazy? Or
did y'all looking for a war? She's and asleep. I'm looking for a celebration.
No, we
it's a celebration. I want to be clear. It is a celebration. We're celebrating both of y'all. It's not a war for y'all. It's so not a war.
Earthy. I'm not earthy.
She's hugging trees.
I know you're not. You hugging a tree right. Exactly. You hugging a tree right now. You
hugging trees.
If you need help putting your playlist together, Jill, hit me up. I will gladly curate, help you, whatever. Like just as a as a fan, because we all need it. Like as a fan, as an artist, like we have our favorites, but then it's like, okay, what resonated with the people? And sometimes that may not be the same thing. So if you just need an outside perspective, I gladly offer my services as cut
Thank
man.
You kindly. Thank
and
you.
Please, Pacheco and can I just add that I know that y'all are friends and sisters and whatnot, but that don't mean that in this battle we got to be like, sister, girl, I love you, girl. I love you too, girl. I love you, girl. I love, oh my God, please don't love me to
death. Stop calling it a battle.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, we just want one round of mutual respect. Yeah, and then let's go. Music.
Let's be baby face. You saw baby face, Jill. Baby face.
I don't do remixes.
No, baby face. Well, keep it.
Baby face, he's shady face, man. That's the baby name. He had all the shade.
All right, so that's it for our unsolicited advice, Jill.
Yes, thanks.
And we only do it because we love you. We don't mean to put you on the spot.
Rally.
It's not a battle.
I have Riley in a post game.
Feel the love.
It's a celebration.
Yeah,
I feel the love.
Yeah. You said one round of mutual respect and then war.
Let's go.
It's just,
oh my God.
And you know, make sure no one has their phones on. Using your Wi-Fi when you do this, right. Make sure everyone goes into airport mode so that you're the only person using.
Right. Although, what about that soundbite of the Black Party when it goes, Jill, are you scared?
Oh, come on,
okay, I'm just joking. You can just, I was just saying, you can hit it and be like, I'm just saying, okay, I was just joking. All right, stop. All right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. Jill, no, I
love you,
love you, Jill. I'm glad that we had
this.
You know what? It's weird. I wish you did have a new album coming out 20 years later called I Am Jill Scott.
That's a good idea.
I can't say enough how much you've literally changed my life.
Straight up and down.
And to hear it. If that was your first attempt, I'm never going to get over that. Like, I have a whole new respect.
I just real quick. The fact is, I need you. I couldn't remember the second song. Like, the fact is, I need you because you said stain and polyurethane. Nigga, you start with that. Man, come on, man. It's over.
What? What? Baby. Yes.
Well, that was that was a hard hitting hole right there, car.
We ain't got no time for no hugs.
Eat that.
I didn't even have a baby now. What?
Yeah, you was doing things to make them. Let's go.
And Razul.
Yeah.
I'm Razul. Doing deep cuts. Anyway.
Razul.
Razul is my shit.
The one in Paris is my favorite. Live in Paris, Razul in Paris. Yep. That's my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. I love there. I wanted to go to Paris so bad. I had a residency there and at the Australian Opera House. It was happening. Wow. I was so excited. Damn COVID-19.
Damn, that's what you was going to do? Damn, what about movies, Jill? Were you going, you was in the process of movie making?
I mean, there was plenty of things. Damn. This is a good working year. Damn. We'll see what happens later.
But, you know, on the other side of that coin, this is a refresh
for
you. No, you know, this is a chance to refresh and get our creativity back and rest.
Yeah. It's a big reset, man. It's a big
and
reset.
Connect.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, we didn't talk about your role in the James Brown movie. Get on up.
Damn, what there's was so that much. Like?
What about it?
Getting her butt kicked like that. Yo, Nil
was
Son.
Was it a positive experience? Was it in terms of your growth as an actress? Like, did you feel that it was something that you you had to rise to the challenge, or did it kind of feel like
You got a motherfucker put his hands thing. On you?
So. Yeah, like that was but some real shit.
You didn't see it though.
Wow,
I didn't see the movie.
No,
you didn't.
Hands.
See, he didn't actually touch me. Oh, yeah. You didn't see him touch me. I just made you think he did. But that movie actually is. This is the one I wish I could do over. I wish I could do that one over.
Really?
Yeah, I learned after
what I should have done. And I'm disappointed by that.
What do you think you did wrong?
I should have punched him in his mouth. I should have fought him. I should have fist fought him.
Is that what she did?
Yeah.
Damn.
I went with what was written.
Okay.
And instead I should have fought him. And I'm disappointed. Like, I really wish I could go back to do that over. So I learned again about homework. Mm-hmm. And how important it is to do the homework, you know. So even if nobody else understands it, well, you want everybody to understand it, but you have to be that guy. Yeah. If that's the general rules, be that guy.
Yeah.
I don't think I was that guy as much as I would want to be. So that's the only role I've had thus far that like disappoints me.
Did you think that not hitting him, do you think that made the character look weaker, or like what was your reason behind it?
I thought that she was so in love with him. In fact, Dee Dee Brown is still in love with James Brown today.
Mm-hmm.
She was so overwhelmingly in love with him that, you know, that's the part that I highlighted. She was just almost obsessed with him, but she did have some spunk and some fight in her. And I wish she had punched him in the mouth. I wish I had allowed her, you know, in the film to punch him in the mouth. He deserved it.
Yeah.
And it would have represented her a little better than what I did. So
you talked and interviewed with her and got to know her as to develop?
Yeah, beforehand.
Was and that on your own or like encouragement of the director and the production?
That was on my own. There was a young man working on set. I can't remember what he did, but he told me that was his grandmother. And I was like, you gotta get me in touch with your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were on the Newlywed Game together. So I got a chance to see her ways.
Wow.
But I didn't get a chance to.
They were?
It's online. It's on YouTube, I think.
I gotta find this joint.
Yeah, they were on
the She hit him with the cards at least like they used to do in the 70s.
They were real cute. They were real cute. They absolutely enjoyed each other. But they fought. They definitely fought. And he was whooping ass. And I got it. I could see how someone could totally be like in love with this guy and enjoyably suppressed.
At the same time.
He's powerful. He's a powerful man. That ain't for me though, Doc.
Mm.
I'll bust you in your sleep.
There's no affiliate.
Any thoughts of writing your memoir?
I think about it often. I think people would be completely surprised at how I got here and how I am able to stay here. Yeah, I think about it often. There's a lot. Good God.
Do you feel like the journey's still happening for you to even start writing your memoir?
If I just wrote the first 15 years, I remember being in the womb. If I could
say
write
what?
I remember being in the womb. If I wrote the first 15 years of this existence, it would be crazy. People would not believe any of it. It's half mythology and folklore with these brilliant sprinkles of simple. It's crazy my existence has been.
You have to do it like James Taylor. James Taylor worked backwards. So he just released his life between birth and 21, like maybe 2 months ago. But, you know, started with the end of his life once he like rehabbed himself and got his life together. Then the project before was like the hell he went through as James Taylor. And then the real hell he went through from childhood to 21 that got him to be a heroin addict and all that stuff. Like him telling the story backwards almost is cinematic, maybe telling your story backwards in that way.
From 0 to 21?
In fragments. Because I think people feel like the need to release their entire life story
is
in one
too
book.
Much. I could do it like Maya Angelou.
Okay.
She gave you bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. Yeah. Okay.
Bits and pieces at a time.
It's funny we're having that conversation when we try to get like somebody's whole life story in like an hour and some change.
An hour.
We didn't even start. So, but Jill, I thank you for doing this. And
Thank you for having me.
Your artistry. And oh, we don't even have to call Jill anymore for...
That's right. Full circle.
Right.
I still think she needs to do like a drunk Hollywood... holiday episode or something. Like in person.
A drunk holiday episode?
We do those. We do.
Yo, man. For Christmas. Oh, Jill. Man, listen.
Damn. I don't want no more drunk.
Comes back from cigarettes.
I don't want no more drunk. No more drunk.
I don't want no more drunk.
Or other things, you know, whatever.
We can make an edible Christmas.
Yeah, that's what we do too. We do that.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a Christmas. Nice time.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
That's real nice. Turned upside down.
Oh, man.
That sounds like the same.
I just forgot. Last music question. I know you gotta go. Jill, okay. It's a Shame record. Mm. The A group.
Yes.
Who are they? Is that you under an alias or is that another group of singers?
It was a group of... Aren't they amazing?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't remember everybody's name. It's been so long. I know one was Keisha. Shit. I feel bad. The A group, they were singers that sang together all the time. And Keisha Renee. And I heard them. I was like, would you mind playing with me? And they did. I just loved them. They were incredible. I can't believe I've forgotten all of their names. It'll hit me later in like
how many
in the middle
of
night.
Them? Three, four? How many of them?
Three. It's three of them. Yeah. They just were amazing. They reminded me very much of the emotions. And I was like, yes. And Aretha Franklin's background singers, you know, they had that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I needed.
Sweet inspiration.
Yo, since Fonte circled back to Shame, I just want to say, you and Eve, do y'all ever circle back and have these conversations of how y'all are so connected?
How they survive the roots?
We
shot With This Ring together with Regina Hall.
Yes!
And Brooklyn Saldano. And we had a chance to just kick it every day. So we talked about it, how that song changed our lives. And here we are years later.
That's what I meant, Amir. That's what I was inferring.
Oh,
but Amir changes lives. He does.
Look, that's what
the roots do. I mean, without your guidance, I mean,
stop,
shit.
Amir. Stop. Take this compliment. Put that camera
down.
Without your guidance and your vision, you know, so many artists wouldn't have a career right now. And you've picked artists that all have longevity.
Mm-hmm. Including
yourself. Well, when she did the video that was just like A Long Walk, I was over her. Anyway.
Motherfucker, that was your one lone mistake. But that's okay, because we forgive you for what you have blessed us
with. Hold up now, what was Josh Stone?
Yeah, you know, we wouldn't know her not for Amir and Raphael Sadiq, if not for Raphael Sadiq and Amir.
She did a video biting A Long Walk.
She did?
Exactly. Oh, yes. I was why?
Who's this Josh Stone we talking about?
Shut up. The one that you playing in the drums in the video. Shut up.
That's because at the time, my girlfriend asked me to be in that video because she was the director.
Oh.
So now, take it back to that. Take it back to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Camera techniques.
Wait a minute. And she was the director on With This Ring.
Wow. And she's the director on my new favorite show with Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon.
I'm watching that, by the way.
Isn't it
Little
good?
Fires?
Yes. It is good.
It's scary.
Little Fires is great.
I'm watching it, but it's scary.
I'm watching it.
It is kind
of
scary.
I'm both of those. Do you feel like you're both of those women?
If I'm lucky enough to be Reese.
All the time.
I'll definitely feel Carrie's pain, but yeah, I see it.
I feel like I'm both of them, and that's great, you know, just being able to relate.
I can see that.
On both ends. I think it's really cool. I love that show.
Don't fuck with their kids either way.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
All right. So for the fourth time.
Yeah, we out.
Any last questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill. Yeah, that first album. Yeah,
I'm
man.
So proud
any
of
other
you.
Insults?
No, man.
Thank you. It was good
like
timing.
The crown today and wear my
unpaid
name.
Unpaid Bill.
Yeah.
Unpaid Bill. Hi.
Yeah, y'all want to work together. Get her on Sesame Street.
You haven't done Sesame Street
anytime she wants.
Yes, I've done Sesame Street. Uh-huh.
She did.
Cried most of the time.
Aww.
Most of the time.
Oh, so you worked with her on Pay Bill. Okay.
I wasn't there. This is before my time.
Oh, okay. It was awesome.
Bill's the music director. Jill.
You got to get Jill back on Sesame Street to talk about being in the womb.
Oh, done.
That would be dope.
I want to hear all about it.
I saw.
If anything, she could probably do the. We try to do a loaf of bread and a stick of butter with Solange, and it didn't air at all. Bill,
it did. It did. It finally aired.
She signed the release.
Yeah, it's somewhere. Yeah, it exists.
Hold on. Okay. I gotta watch that joint.
She don't need her own shit. She's not gonna do shit that you did for somebody else. She's gonna do her own shit now.
No, that song's a staple. Loaf of bread, container milk, and a stick of butter.
Stick of butter. Loaf of bread, container milk, stick of butter.
At the time, I thought Solange ixnayed it. So
I loved my experience on Sesame Street. It was wonderful. By the time Mr. Snuffleupagus walked out, I could not stop crying. I could not stop crying. I was talking to
like they were real.
What's his name? Jesus. I'm Carol terrible Spinney. With names. Kevin. I was talking to Kevin, the guy who was playing Elmo.
The guy to play Elmo? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was talking to the brother. We just standing there rapping. Duh, 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 duh. He put Elmo on his hand. I forgot the man was there. Started hugging the man's hand in the puppet. Talking only to the man's hand. I forgot the man was there. That's how magical it was. That just happens. Like boing, it was great. I got in the nest. I got in the trash can. I worked in the store.
You got in the trash can.
I did it all. I hung out the window. I did it all.
She survived Sesame Street.
Amir, the 50th anniversary on HBO has it.
Oh, sweet. Okay, I got to see it.
You think you get married again, Jew?
Oh shit.
You think you will?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She joining us. Coming into the compound.
Shit,
you cannot fulfill
big love, baby. Big love,
big Amir. Bro, you really think you can fulfill Grace?
Big motherfucking Andrew? Love, Amir Henriksen. That man living in the house with reclaimed wood. He living his best life.
Yes, but I mean, he eating it. He eating it. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Laia Fontigolo, Unpaid Bill, and Sugar can Steve.
Dream. Better dream.
And my third wife, Jill Scott.
Yes, Big Daddy. Babe,
not me.
Third, hold on. Who the second one?
Grace. Oh,
son.
Who the first one?
I'll tell you after it goes off the air. Anyway.
Change. Now it's one? Not so great. I'm your third wife.
Ooh.
It happens.
Big love. Here we go.
I'm living my best life.
You was living in it, and you just
my new name
right
is
out.
Big Love, not quite love. Big Love.
Nice.
Nah, but thank you for doing this show. On behalf of the entire Team Supreme, we say thank you, and we will see you on the next go round. See you.
Thanks, guys. Loved it. Yeah.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.